Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Ironically, as Summer Madness plays in the background, and I say how apropos it is, no matter when I play it, no matter where I play it from, be it from São Paulo, Fortaleza, or Caxias, Brazil, or from Madagascar, Spain, or on a cold night in New York City, or a hot summer afternoon up in the Bronx, it's always apropos, because where you don't feel it, I'm feeling it. Somebody asked me today, Brazil, said, whoa, man, must be a change in the weather. I said, yeah, 82 degrees every day, high 90-something with no humidity, Fortaleza, a haven. Quarter to six, the sun comes up, quarter to six, it goes down. Caxias is even hotter and yet more convenient and calmer. São Paulo, as they're now moving into their fall, convenient little fall-like weather here. The idea of winter is about 50 degrees, 45. Yeah, we could deal with that. Sports of that Blog Talk Radio, the Trust and Guardian Network, getting back here live. First show since Brazil. We spent a lot of time, did a couple of shows. They had some difficulties. I got to talk to some people. I don't know if it was us or the studio, but we had some problems. But they were sorted out. Little Pete, we got a thing. All right, Little Pete called, wanted to do a show. Of course, I could get my trusty sidekick and ever-present, ever-knowing Dusty to join us. So, for the next half hour, a little more, a little less, we're going to talk about a horde of things, some things that have happened since I've been in Brazil, while in Brazil, things happening now. But as always, we open up with John Coltrane, Leaders in Prayer. Super Bowl won by the New England Patriots. And I've said, well, Pete, we're going to talk about football, we'll see. But that's the second time that the Patriots have won a game that they shouldn't have won due to the lack of intellect of the coach on the other sidelines. And the second time Tom Brady won an MVP award that he should not have won. Last night, all the New York teams won. The Knicks won. Nets for the first time, three wins in a row. Wow. The Islanders won. The Rangers won. The Devils won. Everybody won. The Yankees won. Yeah. Wow. Today, and we're going to talk about that. I don't know how they let Bartolo Colon get away. They're going to miss him. He's going to pitch against the Mets today. And ironically enough, he left the Mets with the most wins on the staff. But he left to get paid. Many people forget he's a former Cy Young Award winner, too. So that's quite pretty remarkable. You know? Wow. Oh, never miss the water till the well runs dry. There's some talk that Adrian Peterson may wind up with the Giants. He's going to try out. And it seems that half of the Jets are now Giants. Marshall number one, Geno Smith with some talk about he could be the guy to replace Eli. Whoa! Bro Revis, talking about how nice it would be to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, as he's from that area. Greatest cornerback in the history of the Jets, and one of the greatest cornerbacks in the history of the NFL. There's no longer a Jet. Nick, big center. He may wind up with the Giants. So you have two guys who were behind center and the center. Marshall is already there. And I just think that they kind of gave my man Cruz a little bad deal. I mean, if you got Marshall, you could have kept Cruz. I mean, he's already a Giant. You know, there's no sense of loyalty. You know, when you're an athlete and you do something, you know, you're unloyal and, you know, no respect and you're ingrate. And when they do it, it's just business. Like you said, only America, some fights coming up, too. Big fights have already happened in the Big Apple. We've got some more coming. Andre Berto against Sean Porter. And in the Garden, they're one of the best, considered the fifth best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. We fighting in the Garden. One fight in the Garden, one fight in the Barclays Center. We're going to do take a moment to pray, and then Dusty and Little Pete on our first live show back from Brazil, Sports and the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And thanks for being with us. And now we ask you just take your hats off, or you can keep them on, to slow the pace. It's time to pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. Thanks for last night, getting up last night, laying down. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. Food on our table, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back. Waking up at my mother's day, clothed in her outright mind. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who brings tomorrow. Well, we thank you for today. That great line by Eleanor Roosevelt, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a present. Thank you. And we ask that you bless all those here in the panel, our family and friends foremost. What we forgot to say, Lord, do it. For you can do all things. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Real quickly, some birthdays that we want to mention that has passed. You know, January is a big month for birthdays. Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Buddy McGirt, Dr. King, of course, Jackie Robinson. Yeah, Jackie Robinson. February! Oof. Eddie Murray, Floyd Mayweather, Bill Russell, Louis Irving, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and Brown. Wow. Without further ado, we are no longer here in Brazil. It's the first show back. We did three shows in Brazil. We did from São Paulo, we did from Fortaleza, and we did from Caxias. Now, Little Pete's going to eventually... Hey, Dusty! We talk so much about the hold on, we got little Pete here. Let little Pete start up. Little Pete, you said you wanted to talk a little football. So what's happening, little Pete? Talk to us, baby.
Talk, Doc. All right. So my first concern of that I want to talk about is about Jimmy Garoppolo and how he's got to get out of New England. The Patriots have way too many great players on their team, and the thing is, if like they gotta get rid of someone, because in my opinion, this team should not be allowed. They shouldn't be allowed to have Gronk, Tom Brady, and LeGarrette Blount, like Deion Lewis, like they have some, and then on defense they got like a better defense than their offense. So they have a great backup. They have great backups. And then they just added Brandon Cooks to their team. So that is a killer team right there. That's like an all-star team.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about You know, Jesse, they didn't have Gronk. You forget Gronk got hurt. They didn't have
Gronk
Brady for the
gone,
first four
Gronk
games
was
of the
gone
season.
All season. He was a cheerleader.
No, but, Gronk is coming back. Gronk is coming back.
Oh yeah, okay, but he's coming. You know,
he's
but what's
coming
to
back,
say?
But he was a cheerleader during the Super Bowl, and if
and
I'm
you know,
mistaken,
Dusty, not only that, not only that, Dusty. The point is, how much does he have left? I mean, he has stayed more hurt than he has been on the field.
Yeah, this
so,
guy is a
I mean,
walking,
he may
he's
not
a
be a
mass, no, he's a walking mass unit. But the fact of the matter is that you also have. There was a little kissy-huggy with Darrell Reeves and Bill Belichick. So he may go back to the Patriots.
The thing is that Martellus Bennett is just as good, so they had a great backup for him. He's no longer on that team. The thing is, if Gronk, who's probably the best tight end in NFL history, debatable. I'm not saying he is, but he's debatable to be the best. So... Well,
the best what?
If you have,
hold on. The best what? Gronk is a great tight end, but his lack of durability, his lack of consistency, you cannot rank with Mike Ditka, you can't rank with Winslow, and you can't rank with me, the greatest tight end of all time, John Mackey. So he's an elite player. He's been a great tight end, but to be the best ever. His credentials don't show that. I mean, you got to show up.
His career is short-lived.
And his, you know, it's not his fault. And, you know, it's amazing, little Pete and Dusty. You think a guy that big gets hurt so often, but, you know, what's that great line, Dusty? The bigger they come, the harder they fall?
The harder they fall. But you could compare him to Mike Bavaro of the Giants. The man was a monster. But he was a mass unit. He was always getting hurt. Surgery, broken this and broken that. And how long do you last when your body begins to get broken? I mean, not much. Look at Tony Romo. He lost the whole season, and he was smart enough to say, I resign. Now I'm going to the CVS booth replacing Phil Sims. I mean, so you know things are bad, man.
Yeah. Also, the thing is, they're thinking about adding Adrian Peterson to the roster. Right.
Was
that?
Well, that's a talk. I mean, the Giants have been Christmas shopping in the summer or off season. They've been taking dudes and taking dudes. Look at Geno Smith, who already says I can replace Phil Sims. Not Phil.
Do what you're talking about. You have the only thing missing from the Jets with the Giants is the coach. They got Marshall. They got the center. They got Geno. They got another linebacker. You know what I mean? And who knows?
And
you know, Darrell Revis may wind up over there.
Right.
So,
and
but
let
I
me
mean,
tell you something. You know, let me tell you something. The center who was injured, the guy with the Jets, the long blonde hair. I forget his name.
Nick. Yeah, Nick. Yeah.
Mango. He's talking with the Giants. He's talking with the Giants.
I think
too.
He's there already. He's not talking. I think he's there. I mean,
he's already
the
there. So you're
right, Dusty.
So all they have to do is take the local from Jetland to Giantland. They don't have to travel far. And the area code is still the same. So the Giants are really doing some shopping, but I don't know what the heck the Jets are doing. They got this kid that looks good in college, but untried quarterback. But they're not reinforcing the main brigade with proven players. And for the Giants to say, hey. Adrian Peterson still has a few more years, and this horse has a few more years. Well, they're going to milk that horse, and they're going to use it. And
what's that great line from George Allen? The future is now, and in the case of the Giants, what they're saying right now.
The future
is
now.
Their running game was putrid. They won 10 games last year with a horrible running game. If they had a running game that's enough, who knows? They might beat the Cowboys twice.
Exactly.
And they might want to win a division if they had a running back last year.
And if you look at, they got Beckham and they got Marshall, who's going to babysit Beckham. I don't know why they got rid of Victor Cruz because he was still a good player.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand that.
You know, my thing is they showed a lack of respect.
Yeah.
They showed a lack of courtesy. They showed a lack of appreciation for a guy. And whatever they signed Marshall for. They could have got Cruz. Not to mention, and you too, little Pete, you remember last year, you know, he was out there. They weren't throwing the ball. I remember he started the game off. They threw the deep pass. Didn't throw the ball to him. And we talked about that in the clubhouse. They weren't throwing him the football.
They weren't throwing. And he's a man who because of injuries, has shortened his speed, but he was good for a couple of first downs or short pass to keep the drive.
Still play.
The drive alive. Keep the drive alive.
And
get the
he allowed you not to double team.
Exactly.
Lil Pete, good. You got something to say, Lil Pete? Good, just hold on. Go, Lil Pete. Lil Pete,
Doc.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Doc. All right. So here's what I think about the Giants. The thing is,
okay.
is that you lost Victor Cruz, who's one of your dominants on the short passes, and then you lost Rashawn Jennings, your best running back. It
exactly.
Because their run game now is going to be very, very low. And plus, I know that they added Marshall, but he's getting old and he gets hurt a lot. So his career is almost ending.
Yeah, but so, let me tell you what. They lost nothing in the running game because their running game was horrible. It was putrid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Marshall and Cruz, I mean, they're just a mirror of each other. So you don't gain there, but you don't lose there. My only thing,
exactly.
I think, Dusty, the only thing, you know, Dusty, and you agree with me, they just weren't throwing the ball to Cruz. So what you're going to tell me if I watch a few games is, oh, my goodness, you're going to throw the ball to Marshall, but you wouldn't throw it to Cruz.
Exactly. Cruz was just a fixture with no catches. And he bitched about it, with justifiably so. I mean, because...
Yeah, I mean, he worked hard to get back.
Yeah.
He showed loyalty. And they showed him no respect. They showed him no courtesy. And, yeah, I just hope he's not out of football. But, I mean, I think it's a slap in the face, Lil Pete and
exactly.
Dusty. You turn around and you sign Marshall when you had Cruz. You got two
exactly.
cars. You got two Rolls Royces. So now you got a great deal on a third one? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, and the fact of the matter is
the network. It's Dusty, Doc and Sports, me and Dusty with Little Pete, who agitated. Go ahead, Little Pete. What you got to say, baby? We're here. Talk to us.
Doc, so here's what I think. Going on to the Steelers now. The thing is, they need a backup quarterback, okay? Every Jones, they cannot rely on him. They all right? The fact is that they need someone who can actually come through for them if Ben gets hurt. In my opinion, they should sign RG3. Robert Griffin III.
You know what, Lil Pete, what a tremendous insight. Doc Stanley Sports, the blog took video.
Yeah.
Now, this guy about all about what, 10 years old, you know. But, no, tremendous insight because, first of all, you're right. Roethlisberger has been, you know, he reminds me so much, Dusty and Little Pete, of Eli Manning. If Manning goes down, the Giants are shot. And Dusty, you remember in the day, man, where every team had two good quarterbacks.
Two good
quarterbacks
who could pay.
You had Babe Parilli.
Each other,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not only that, if the day, hey Doc, you know, you ain't doing today. Dusty, go ahead in there. Hey Dusty, you
exactly.
know what I mean? So you know, I think that would be a great fit. RG3 got a horrible deal, and we talked about that on one of these shows with Patrick Farrar. The way not only did the Washington Redskins not even play the guy, but then they badmouthed him when he left. Then he goes to a horrible team. That would be a great pick.
Yeah.
Now imagine if he went there, and not only if they wound up with Revis, but you're right. But I you know the what bothered me, fellas, was that. When they played New England, they won 100%. I mean, when Bell got hurt, that was it. Hey, you might have sounded the bell. I mean, you know, because
exactly.
you yeah. Go ahead, Luby.
Doc, the fact is, they didn't lose to the Patriots just because of Bell. All right, they
huh?
not have a tight end. Their tight end, Ladarius Green, is one of their big parts of their offense. When Brown is not there, when they put man-to-man coverage on Brown, and he's not really there when he's up against good corners, Ladarius Green is the guy that usually catches the ball a lot. Because Martavius Bryant was out this year, and plus Marcus Wheaton was out. So those were their two best. Those were their two other best wide receivers. So Ladarius Green was the guy that was reliable. He got hurt, so they didn't really have any receiving people other than
Brown. Well, also I was saying in the game against New England, the running back, if I'm correct, his name is Bell, right?
Running back.
That was a big part of Brown as well.
Oh, no question. I mean, now because now what I can do, I can double team Dusty, okay?
Yeah.
And we can rush the quarterback, but if you had him, you could throw to him. You had to watch the running game. You know, no question, it's a tremendous aspect. And, you know, that coach down there does a heck of a job. Year in and year out, they make the playoffs. Year in and year out, you know, he gets them in a position to win. It was just, you know, you didn't hate to see a situation where injuries really play such a key fact. I mean, New England might have still won the game, but you just wanted them to go in there with both barrels loaded instead of going there with one barrel loaded or just with one gun working. So that's a tremendous point. But Pittsburgh – go ahead, Dusty.
No, well, I was just going to say that to interject, not only RG3 is usable, but then you got Kaepernick, who's been politically ostracized throughout
tremendous
the NFL.
Point.
And he's still a talent. He's still a talent that can scramble. Roethlisberger, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. As big as he is, 5,000 tons, but the man runs like a runaway freight train.
No.
But he gets injured.
That's the point you're making. But you know what? He has the ability. Dr. Stanley Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard. Doc is back. Dusty's back. And we got Little Pete, our first live show from New York since Brazil. But, you know, one thing about Roethlisberger, and I think both of you gentlemen kind of say, well, you're right. You know, as much as he get hurt, he always comes back and recovers. You know, unlike Tony Romo, who just out. Roethlisberger, you know, he may be hurt, but he's always going to be back and be back for you in prime time. And he always performs in prime time. He's been one of the great quarterbacks and one of the great clutch quarterbacks in this game. But and he's been durable. I mean, he may get hurt. He may hurt an ankle, but he's going to be there for you when you need him. But the point that you're making, Dusty, is just, you know, and repeat, you know, it'd be nice to have somebody to say, hey, you know what, take a quarter off. Hey, you know, we're winning big. If he does get hurt, because look at Dallas. Go ahead, Pete.
Huh?
So go ahead.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. Roethlisberger's a great guy. He's clutch. But the thing is, if he does get hurt, who's going to come in? Because what if they have to face someone in the AFC Championship? What if Roethlisberger gets hurt or something? Who's going
to
be
the backup guy? Little Pete, you can stop. There's no need to go there. You're 100% right. And you know what? I tell you what. If you guys look around in the whole NFL – every team needs a good back quarterback. If you go through the rosters.
RG3 is their guy.
Lil Pete, I agree with you. I thought, Dusty, I thought, Lil Pete, that the Jets should have jumped on him.
Exactly,
or somebody,
absolutely.
Well, what about this? Well, what about had Denver picked him up? Or what about had Oakland grabbed him?
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you what. You know what? We better watch out. We may be reading in the next couple of weeks that both RG3 and Darrelle Revis are up in New England.
Exactly.
I mean,
if anything, Darrelle Revis should go to the Pittsburgh. He could make their defense run, okay? And if the Steelers get Hassan Reddick from college, that would be a good defense. It will improve their defense because they already got
Hey, Lil Pete, stop. I thought you were a teenager. I mean, hey Dusty, he's 33, 7 years old and a scout for 15 years in the NFL.
He's a disciple of Bill Belichick.
Are you on the money? No, there's no question.
But
the thing with Revis is, what we have to see with Revis. No, I agree, and I think he would fit perfectly. You know, but I heard Dusty. I don't know, and you know, you're great with your insight. You know, between what you read, what you hear, and then with Consuelo, my man Henrique. But I heard that that Belichick and Revis are talking again too.
They're hugging and kissing. This is what I was telling you. They were hugging and kissing.
Yeah,
and
rumor has it.
And they were talking, going out to lunch. And the fact of the matter is that he helped them in that other Super Bowl, and Revis got a Super Bowl ring with them. So, you know, Don White is going to say, hey, I might as well go back to the farm and pick me up a possible other ring.
Brady just got to pay, I think, the first mil. Good.
Brady said, I'm good for another 3 or 4 years. I ain't going nowhere. You know, people are going to say, hey, let's go with the winning quarterback. Because everything falls on Tom Brady. Everybody's looking at Tom Brady as a miracle worker. I mean, when they were losing, in the first half, and they said the game's over. All you had to do was look at Tom Brady's eyes, and he was like hypnotizing his team. And said, we're going to win this thing, man. And he started cutting the defense and chewing up the grass. What happened? He wins another Super Bowl. And
Super Bowl.
to me, well deserves MVP because he was the mechanic, not Belichick. He was the mechanic
to
drive this team.
I thought this is the second Super Bowl in a row that they won. That one, the other coach just was a knucklehead. I mean, Atlanta sat on the ball instead of running the ball, killing and going into the end zone. And Brady, not White was the MVP in this game. The guy that scored that went into the that was the MVP in this game, as well as Malcolm Butler was MVP in the last game. Brady has a lot to do with it, but Brady, for the second time, in my opinion, was not the MVP.
Everybody has his own opinion.
Yeah,
but, you know.
I mean, you take White off the field, it's not the same game. You know I mean, but Brady is the glamour guy. Brady is the good story guy. And, you know, it's always a black or white issue here. So, but there's no doubt in my mind that this is the second time that he's got MVP. He shouldn't have won. And it's not his fault. And the second time, though, that – and here's a guy that gets no credit. You know, no Belichick gets no credit for being arguably the greatest coach maybe of all time. But definitely one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, you know, he gets his guys together. He's so much of a Parcells disciple in the sense of he knows the game. He's a player's coach, and, you know, I don't have all this time for nonsense. Leave my guys alone. Leave us alone. Let us go play football. Doc Stanley, Sports and the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. Little Pete and Dustin, we're here at my first show back. Go ahead, Little Pete. What's up, baby?
Anything like I'm a little child, I can't all
right. So I agree with Brady being miracles, but I think that he's got to get out of the league because he's already had an amazing 17 NFL seasons. I don't think that he has to go anymore. I think he's already
the best Pete. Let me tell you what Larry Holmes told me one time. It's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life, and people are going to pay you for it. And you tell right. Hey, come on, Dusty. He just won the Super Bowl and the MVP.
And
a lot of people thought he was MVP of the league.
He's
got to come back.
What about
no, he just finished saying, I'm good for another 3 or 4 years. I'm not going to stop. I'm still young. I'm enjoying this. I mean, Tom Brady had a possible career-ending injury 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, he still wears a brace on his left leg. And guess what? Mm-hmm. The man is still playing. He's still the man with the golden arm. So
and you know what, hey, Dusty, no, we got to do, too. What we got to do here, too. Hold, let's take a quick break. Nobody move. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard. Welcome back, Dusty Sugar. Little Pete, hold tight. We got a little spot here. Michael Bellamy says this for us. Come on, Mike.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And you know, it's what, Little Pete? I mean, like I'm saying, it's. I mean, the timing here does not say leave. The timing says we just won the Super Bowl. And now, you know what to do, Dusty? You know what it too, Little Pete? It's like the champ. You know, okay, I got to give the rest of the league a rematch. Okay?
Exactly.
I can't go now. I got to give the rest of the league a rematch.
I'm on top of the mountain, man, and I like it.
And you know what too, Dusty? And know too, Little Pete, what we're looking – what a great offensive line. I mean, one of the great things that made that was that offensive line. What a great offensive line. Dallas has a great offensive line. New England has a great offensive line that Green Bay has. But, I mean, at Little Pete, he can't leave. I mean, first of all, where is he going to make this kind of money? Where else is he going to make the kind of money he's making? But not only that, I think people forget, you know, athletes play this game. So they love it.
Exactly.
They play the game because it's not so much that you know, what else can he do, which is true, but they love to play this game.
Brady is a gentleman quarterback. What do I mean by that? He is a walking enterprise. He doesn't really financially need this game anymore. You see what I'm saying? He's already built enterprise with his wife.
The point you make is that it makes it even more fun.
It makes it even more fun because of the fact that he's already an established enterprise with his wife, a top model. Now, if he says,
I don't have to be there at 10 o'clock, but I'm there at 9 o'clock every day.
I feel good, you know, and I can play another 3 or 4 years, who's to stop him? Who's to stop him? The man's doing well.
Hold on, Pete. Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
All right, so I don't know if Brady was the MVP of that game, because James White set a Super Bowl record, 14 receptions. which led them to it. And plus, he scored the game-winning touchdown. So that's kind of the reason why they won.
I don't think he was the MVP. But the point is that for him to win the Super Bowl, for him to get the MVP, and I understand, I've always said this about New England, and you look at the Jets are even more decimated than before. And I said this about New England, and you don't take away from them, but New England's in a division that they beat Buffalo twice, they beat the Jets twice, they beat Miami twice. They're 6-0. They got 10 games left. If they play just 500 football, which a good team can do, they are 11. Okay, that's 11 wins.
In the back of the playoffs.
Okay. 11 and 5. They're going to win the division. They're going to win the conference. So the championship game is played, or one of the big games is played there. I mean, you know, and the Jets are worse than ever now. I mean, exactly. I can't understand what's happening with the Jets. I mean, Mangold is gone. Reavers is gone. As bad as they talked about Geno, he's gone. Marshall, who was such a tremendous part of that offense, he's gone. So, I mean, but, you know, you look at New England. And you know, too, Dusty, because you play a team you should beat doesn't mean you always beat them. But one thing about New England, Dusty, like the old Yankees, okay, like the old Celtics, okay, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
Exactly. And they always come through at the end. This is a team who's in the playoffs for the last four or five seasons or whatever.
Every year,
there's always in the playoffs. I mean, no guarantee they win the soup. But how many soups they won already? Four? Or is
I think
it
five? Four or five. Well, to be safe, a lot. They won a lot. You know, to be safe. You know? Sports in that Block Talk Radio, trust and go. Everyone, thank Little Pete here. Jumping Doc, let's do a show. We're talking football. We told you last night, a big night for New York City. The Nets won again. First time all year they've had 3 wins in a row. The Knicks won. Okay, the Islanders won. The Devils won. The Rangers won. Everybody working in New York uniform, I guess down to CYO, they won. Big
right,
thing,
so,
as you know. No,
so, Doc, can we have a ticker tape parade? Because everybody won yesterday.
Hey, listen, take it easy. Somebody got to pay for the ticker tape, but they ain't going to do it. You know what I mean? But you're right. Yankees won last night, too. As you know, also, North Carolina won for the third time. Another NCAA championship. We also with the shocker that the UConn lost. And,
UConn,
you know,
can you imagine that?
Hey, Little Pete, is your dad around?
Yeah.
You haven't joined us? Dusty, we went to a press conference yesterday. We got a fight up. You know, Dusty, I thought about something, Dusty. You know, that fight upstairs in the garden, I don't see that young man bringing the kind of crowd.
Felix Diaz.
The champion.
I don't see even Bud Crawford bringing that crowd in there. I mean, I don't know why they took the main event, I mean, the main place. You know.
Unless tomorrow they're going to have an undercard that has somebody's name like Ali, Frazier, Sugar Ray. When they said upstairs, I was like, upstairs? I said, well, you got to go to the bathroom or something?
Well, I heard one of the guys from Top Rank said, Ted DeBuff, that they're working on a tremendous underneath card. And so they're only programming Crawford.
It's going to have to be.
It's going to have to be, Dusty. Because
Dusty,
that's what the Barclays
Dusty, tell
is doing.
Hey, Dusty, hold on. Are you coming back? Are you coming back? Is that it? You coming back? You and Harold West?
It's going to be me and Harold Weston, but our sixth round is going to be pay-per-view.
Go ahead, Little Pete. Yeah, go ahead.
Doc, I got to head out, all right? I'll be, what's it called? I'll be back on the show, all right?
Okay, If your dad is not coming to join us. That's
right.
little Pistol Pete. Our boxing, my man GW Mike. What tremendous young man. You know what I like about him too is the, and what you like about kids too is the manners, but his intellect, what he knows about the game. I'm gonna try to see if we can get
the encyclopedia
sports,
here.
I do want to get back with you. Dusty, if we get the boxing. I just didn't understand.
Yeah.
Them going upstairs. The guy may be the number five ranked best pound for pound fighter in the world,
yeah.
But he doesn't have the name to do anything upstairs in the garden. I don't
exactly.
I see the. Go ahead, Dusty.
But you see the thing that they're
I
doing
don't see
is
it, Dusty.
That. Yeah, I don't see it either. This is why when I went there, I said, "Well, maybe it's the theater, but it's not the theater. It's the main room." So then they have to be Doc, just like Sean Porter and Andre Berto, right? The
yeah.
underneath card is more attractive in my book than Sean Porter and Andre Berto, even though that's a top welterweight fight.
But you know what? You could understand going upstairs with those two guys, former world champions, two guys still in their prime. You could understand this. But no, he's fighting a guy that has had a loss, so he's not undefeated, so that's not part of the marquee value. You throw
the fact that
he won a gold medal, but that's back in 2008.
Okay, look, but
you
Doc,
know?
let's compare the two main events in New York, the Barclays, Sean Porter and Andre Berto. Andre Berto, sharp one, he's trying to hold on to glory. Sean Porter only lost to Keith Thurman, so Sean Porter is the golden god there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Andre Berto, how many flies is he going to draw? Boom. So they're smart enough to bring in King Kong, Amanda Serrano. There's two or three other great underneath fights to bolster up that card. Okay, let's move
mm-hmm.
that to a side. Okay? Now, what does the Garden have besides Crawford, who fights at Omaha all the time, and Felix Diaz, who has fought once or twice preliminary, but since he's a gold medalist Olympian 2008 in Beijing and was clamoring for a tough fight, a championship fight, he got the nod. Okay?
Hey, Greg.
But who do they have underneath?
Hey, Doc, how you feeling?
They have to be building up that underneath card to make it attractive.
All right, baby.
You see what I'm saying?
Hit you later.
They have to have that underneath card to make it attractive. Now, they have from here to, was it May 20th or May whatever, to begin to draw that underneath card to make it palatable. So if you can get a 10 or 15,000 audience or 12 audience, you did well. But right now, Crawford and Felix Diaz, who is almost an unknown, you're running the risk. But I think they must know what they're doing. Next week, or this coming Saturday, that's why Bob Arum was not here. He's out in, I forgot, Connecticut or California, Las Vegas, with Vasily Lomachenko. That's his pride and glory over there. Okay? So they're building that fight up. But that's in Las Vegas where you draw players and you'll draw the gamblers. But in Madison Square Garden that has been lying dormant and collecting a lot of cobwebs, well, they have to be building up an underneath card that's going to be attractive enough to sell Crawford and Felix Diaz. Because I saw them yesterday, I'm saying, whoa. I mean, you saw me talk to Crawford. I told him, you know, you as devastating southpaw as you are right-handed, and I'm looking at Felix Diaz, who is a southpaw, doesn't have much of a knockout record. He has 9 and 21 fights, lost one to Lamont Peterson, which was questionable. What grants him a main event in Madison Square Garden? Your question is as good as mine, but they're doing it, you know. So I just don't understand that. But, you know, in the minds of promoters, they must know what they're doing. Yeah.
Well,
because
in this case, they don't know, but they think they know because there's nothing about this card, Dusty, that says upstairs. This card has Paramount written all over it, Dusty.
Yeah.
Paramount
exactly.
written all over it. And everybody's happy. You sell the Paramount out. You know, mm-hmm. you do your Showtime, your HBO card. But Dusty, I see this as a bloodbath.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If Felix Diaz lasts three rounds, he's lucky. I see this as a Eastern Parkway fight, I mean, you know, or main event in St. Nick's. But they must have some idea of what the underneath is going to be to boost to bolster this. And you remember that Chocolatito always follows Triple G, and he builds up the case. Now, Chocolatito lost last week. He was robbed. But is he still going to be the underneath supporting fighter or championship fighter for Triple G? I don't know. And they had almost 20,000 people there. But the fact of the matter is that they must be working, or they have to be working on an underneath card, and they have enough time. They have enough time to build it up. Who, what tomato cans they have, or what supermarket they went to contract it, I don't know. But they must have somebody. And this is what it, you know what it is. I mean, Crawford, you know, he was supposed to be hooked up with Pacquiao. That didn't happen. Crawford had a choice between Felix Diaz and this guy Orozco. I saw Orozco last week at the PBC. What a monster 140-pounder. They turned him down to take Felix Diaz. Maybe because this Orozco man would have done some damage. But, you know, I don't know what the shenanigans is. And Crawford wants to keep busy. And I think when you ask him, well, why Top Rank, and he says, well, why not? Yeah, of course, because Top Rank keeps pushing this guy with some good money, good chump change, keeps him busy, puts him in the right positions and promotes him. Why not? But Top Rank is a walking enterprise that if I tell Top Rank, you're Bob Arum, I say, hey, Bob Arum, I want to fight for you. I want you to promote my fight. Every fighter has to sign minimum a 2-year contract with Top Rank. Okay?
Lenny,
and if I'm not a Top Rank fighter and I want to fight you and you're a Bob Arum, you're a Top Rank fighter, I got to sign a 2-year contract just to get a chance to fight you. So I'm stuck with Top Rank. That's the way they operate. So they must be doing something right. They're going to give you a good card that day. I'm very sure. But, what happens, I don't know. So what else? You just told me yesterday, too, that you got Sergey and Andre Ward for June. Yeah, I got the notice.
Yeah. Hey, Kaz, you got a couple minutes to join us?
Huh?
Well, can you just call for a minute? 646-200-0373. You give us 5 minutes.
Yeah, who's that?
Okay, you got the number. 646-200-0373. Later, babe.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dustin.
But you got Sergey and Andre Ward again. No, no excuses. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that...
You brought up a tremendous point about that. You brought up a tremendous point about that and reminded me so much of the Lennox Lewis Holyfield fight.
Yeah.
And Holyfield just pulled out the first fight, and everybody claimed he didn't win the first fight. And he went into the second fight. There was no way he could win that fight. Even he had knocked out Lennox Lewis. They had woke Lennox Lewis up and have him come back. And you said something yesterday that was so profound, is that with Ward having the title and the time to dissect what has to be done,
exactly,
he'll win the second fight. He'll win the second fight.
See,
you know,
because of the fact, go ahead, Doc, go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because Ward is a mental mechanic. What do I mean by that? That's very abstract. Is that he came in cold, knowing what he does best in the first fight, made a mistake of getting hit by that right hand by Kovalev, and he got dropped. And that being said, he says, uh-oh, wait a minute. Let me find the nook and cranny and how to outbox this dude. Tire him out, move here, maneuver him here, and before you know it, in the last 3 or 4 rounds, he was outboxing Kovalev. And although Kovalev was hurting him, he was throwing the bigger, heavier, harder punches. But he figured him out, you see? Now, come June 20th, he's already figured out Kovalev. Now, Kovalev said in that press release, he says, well, it's my time now to get even. You're going to see a tougher, a more alert Kovalev to take back his title. I know I'm going to win my title back. But Andre Ward is going to be a tough fight for him because it's more, I think, a mind game than anything else. And this parallels, and now listen to what I'm going to tell you. It parallels what Danny Jacobs tried to do with Triple G. Unfortunately, he wasn't as aggressive and power-punching as he should have been as Andre Ward was with Kovalev in the first fight. I remember Andre Rozier spoke to me many times. He says, I teach my fighters to be ambidextrous so they can feel comfortable southpaw, they can feel comfortable right-handed. And I remember Andre Rozier repeating over and over again in between the rounds, we're going to win this fight, telling Danny Jacobs, we're going to win this fight by finesse and frustration. I don't know what he meant by finesse and frustration, because all of a sudden what I saw was Danny in a survival mode. But Andre Ward, to make a comparison, a link, is not going to fight in a survival mode. He's going to go after Kovalev, you see, in his own slick ring generalship mentality. And this is why right now I got to give him the edge, because I saw something in the last few, three or four rounds in the first fight that maybe justified him winning the title, even though I still say that he got a gift. Okay? And that's how I feel. But this is basically
I think
Yeah, Doc. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Doc. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Dusty?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening for your response.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, you know, in today's game, you know, we don't have, you know, they're talking about, you know, well, you know, Doc landed 35% more power punches and the other guy landed some more jabs, but we're still standing. So I just, I mean, outside of a body punch, the Ala Duran, well, you can name a million guys back in your day, but Ala Chavez, as we can look back, I don't put a lot of credence in the power punch. You know, it's ironic that you said the same thing that, oh, that's right, yeah, my fault, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dusty, go ahead.
No, well, I'm listening to what you're saying. That this is how I.
Yeah, no, but yeah, your response here.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. This is how I earmark the fight. I'm making a preliminary assessment that I see Andre Ward winning. But then again, you know, we got some time to go, and you know they are going to do a 3 or 4 city conference that they're coming into New York. I don't know when. But we'll get further notice of what they're going to be in New York. But the fact of the matter is that I see Andre Ward winning. Right off the top of my head, I said, geez, this Andre Ward is too slick for Kovalev. But then again, I don't know. In fact, I don't even know whether John Jacob Jackson is still with Kovalev, you know. And so he may have dropped out of sight. I don't know. I gotta find out if he's still there. But the fact of the matter is that this is basically what how I see things, you know. But it's a fight that right now I give the slight edge to Andre Ward. But then again, you know, we got a long time between April now and June, you know. So we'll see what they happen when they go to camp and the whole nine yards. But the fact of the matter is that this is how, you know, I was here. Like, for example, I saw Edna Cherry, a veteran, yesterday fight last night. And the man still has his bravado. He still has his punching power, the cherry bomb, he calls it, and all that, fighting a tough kid in Douglas. And he made it very close, but he edged it out. Now he's and he's looking for a title shot. So the fact of the matter is that these guys always manage to go to dig deep into their bag of experiences to pull out a victory. And this is how, even though Andre Ward is 33, he's going to dig into his bag of...
Whoa, Dusty, you got to quit doing this, Dusty. You got to quit coming up with these genius remarks. You know, you brought a point that you got to digest this. He's the older guy, Dusty. I forgot about that. 33, he's the older guy. And
exactly.
Dusty, he's had some health issues, man. And a lot of people,
issues,
you know, there's going to be a lot
surgeries.
Of anti-Andre Ward sentiment in this fight, too, Dusty.
Right. Two surgeries.
And they're fighting in Vegas, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's going to be neutral territory, but I think, but you know what? Here's the bottom line, too, Dusty. They say, well, you know, what the hell? You know, let him do it three times.
Exactly. Yeah. Let him do a trilogy. You know, but the fact is that Andre Ward, when I interviewed him about a year ago, he said he admitted he was those 2 years and fighting with goosing people because of the money and the management, and then the two surgery injuries, he was ready to quit. And Virgil Hunter, his godfather, a mentor, told him, no, you do one more stab at this and we see what happens. Well, you know, the rest is history. But now he's reorganized. He's out there. Now he's on top of the world.
Dusty.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dusty. Yeah, Taz, you know what happened when we went to air? We still can run, but you couldn't get through. But okay, Taz, I got you here. Taz is with us. I know you got a few minutes. Dusty, we got Taz with us.
Yeah.
Taz, the thing that's puzzling, you heard about Kovalev and Andre Ward. How do you like that? How do you see that in his return match?
Sorry, we can't hear you.
Yeah, I said that. Okay, how do you see Andre Ward, Kovalev, the return match? How do you see that fight?
In June.
Andre Ward, Kovalev?
Yeah.
The rematch?
Yeah.
I think it's a boring fight, more than likely. I think that if you look at the second half of that fight, Andre Ward's pretty much figured out Sergey Kovalev.
Mm.
Yep.
He went into a different type of mode. A lot of portion of the fight, Kovalev could not make any adjustments to the degree with which Ward did.
Exactly.
And I think that you'll see a carryover in the second fight of what happened in the last five rounds of that fight. Andre Ward should win a pretty comfortable unanimous decision.
So, no, you know what? You're so on the money with Dusty, and then which also alludes to the fact, Dusty, that you question the fact that Kovalev no longer has his Jackson in the corner anymore. So I mean, you guys, the network, my first live show from New York after Brazil. So I mean, you guys have brought us some temper. You both were saying Ward's going to pick up where he left off after where he figured out Kovalev, and the fact that Kovalev couldn't make any adjustments. And I know you got a run, Taz, so we're going to do more in-depth show later in the week. But my question to you, too, and me and Dusty, we went down to the press conference yesterday. Top Rank is having a Crawford is fighting next month in the Garden. But the thing is that me and Dusty, I mean, he's fighting upstairs. Who is he going to draw, Taz, to fill up Madison Square Garden upstairs? Okay, no question, doing the Paramount. Good crowd, you're fighting a light fighter, but they said they're going to have a hell of an undercard, unless they're talking about Duran, Ali, Frazier. I mean, first of all, I don't see him filling up upstairs, and I don't see any kind of undercard that's going to make people want to come out and see this fight at Madison Square Garden upstairs.
Well, I think you're right about that. You know, maybe Bob Arum knows something that I don't know. I don't know why we're having a Pacquiao Jeff Horn fight in Australia.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. Only the kangaroos are going to watch that
fight in United Arab Republics, and that somehow in Dubai they don't have enough money to stage the Manny Pacquiao fight. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And, you know, there's some cabal or something like that's networking together to converge on these type of things. I don't know, Todd. Your guess is as good as mine, but for whatever reason, they think that it's fiscally responsible to have that type of a fight, and I think that's exactly what it is that they're looking for.
Okay, I know you got to go. Last question, Sean Porter, Andre Berto. I think Andre, as Dusty said, has seen his better days. I guess in this fight, we're going to lean toward Porter.
Sean Porter will win that fight eventually. You know, Andre Berto is not the type of guy. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here right now with the lovely John Amai, and we're going to discuss that fight and break it down. I'm getting ready to come out with something pretty original on that. But, you know, real quick, Sean Porter is not the type of person that Andre Berto can beat. I think that he's a guy that succumbs to pressure. He's a one-trick pony. Not to say that Sean Porter is a dimensional guy, but he brings a lot of pressure. He's more nuanced in what he does than Andre Berto is. He's long enough to take a lot of punishment in his career. I think this is about a 6 to 7 round fight. Sean Porter gets him out of there.
Mm. Taz, talk to you later during the week. Question, Jones again, baby.
Yeah, question before you go. With Virgil Hunter, does that make a difference with Andre Berto? with Virgil Hunter.
Oh, no, Taz left. I think the consensus is, unless we have here, Dusty, what we had with Gotti and
right.
Buddy McGirt.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we haven't seen? I think Buddy McGirt and Andre Antonio Gotti was the only time where we see a trainer come in and prolong the career of a fighter who came
yeah.
in and trusted and listened to him or even had the ability. I mean that's
yeah.
the big thing. And, you know, if you're punching Jewy hitter, I mean, you know, you can't hit 35 home runs a year. But I
exactly.
think the big thing here is what you said, the long in the tooth, the wear and tear Berto. And I think, you know, Dusty, let's be honest, okay? Berto was never really that good anyway.
Yeah, well, he never really. You see, I'm glad you said that because I've always wondered who would have won, how the fight would have resulted if the earthquake in Haiti had not occurred and Berto
wow.
would have fought
mm-hmm.
Shane Mosley when they were in their primes.
Mm-hmm.
They were both
mm-hmm.
undefeated, or Shane Mosley lost one fight. And it was
Dusty, hold it. Dusty, you know, here's the question, too, Dusty. Here's the question,
yeah.
too. And we go both ways on that. In wake of what happened, should he still have fought? It could have been therapeutic. It was pivotal. We understand. But should he, as a champion, and as maybe a situation that could have been therapeutic, and it could have been therapeutic not only for him but for other people. Your thoughts, Dusty? Should he have fought and not postponed the fight?
Well, the thing is, okay, that's a horse of two different colors, man.
Okay, come on.
Let's take the fact that you could utilize the philosophy of an injury because of the
mm-hmm.
earthquake. And postpone
mm-hmm.
until such time as there's recovery, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then would have fought. But to cancel it totally and never having fought.
Trinidad Hopkins, okay?
Exactly.
Okay?
Right, exactly. Trinidad Hopkins.
Ali Foreman.
All of these major fights were carried through the contract at a later date. And yet, Mosley and Berto, the two hottest welterweights at that time, just canceled the fight. And I've always had a wonderment, how would that – and just looking back, Monday morning quarterbacking, maybe I would have leaned a little bit towards Berto just because
okay.
he was fast. He was a fast –
And Dusty, had he came in under those circumstances, he's even more determined, and now he's
absolutely.
Got a course, which was so much of what Ray Leonard, when he fought, he not only fought the great Roberto Duran, but he was fighting an emotion, and maybe Shane would have been in that same predicament, Dusty.
Exactly. Absolutely. And this is what I'm saying. That's a fight that I will never see, that I wish I had seen. I don't want to see now because they're finished, but you know, something that we will never see. But I would have hoped.
Dusty, cut the crap. If they had to fight on next Thursday, you'd be right there. You know, they're finished. But let me just take a peek.
Let me just sneak in under the ring and see what's going on.
yeah. Adelaide, don't tell Doc.
Yeah, don't tell anybody that I sneaked in here.
Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God. Radio Work. Doc is back. Sports and Sorts. Me and Dusty, we're going to leave you now. We'll be back this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll be doing some twice a week, me and Dusty here. We gave you some fight updates. We talked about Little Pro Football with Little Pete. And that's, we were going to leave. Dusty, always great to have you.
Welcome back, Doc.
Still keeping
yeah.
you in prayer, you know, and losing your brother. Late birthday wishes
right.
to you. Marvin Gaye takes us away as we leave this segment
question.
Of Sports and Death. Sports and Dusty
really
live,
care.
Our first show back to New York City. Dusty, love you, baby. Talk to you later.
God bless, Doc. Take care, baby.
In despair, who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No
bells won't be ringing.
No bells.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
and if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Thank you.
Sports in Depth Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Doc Stanley, Dusty, and Little Pete. Trust in God.